Namweyut, We All Are One, A Pathway to Reconciliation. Written by Chief Robert Joseph. Narrated by Dr. Evan Adams. Dedication. This book is dedicated to the survivors of Indian residential schools, with special remembrance for those who never returned home. These are the child heroes who exposed the truth and the specter of genocide. Max Ehrman wrote in Desiderata, "Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should." Foreword by Mike DeGagne, President and CEO, Inspire. Indigenous writers often describe the power of stories. In oral traditions, a story is a memorable way to convey our history, our traditions, and our teachings. Chief Robert Joseph offers his journey of reconciliation through the story of his life, and what an extraordinary, troubling, and uplifting life it is. Raised in a traditional way, surrounded by a loving community, but brought to the Indian residential school in Alert Bay much too early, Chief Joseph describes the confusing and traumatic lives spent by children in the school. His personal story compels us to face the truth of what happened in these institutions and helps us fully appreciate the importance of these experiences to all Canadians. As someone who shared parts of the healing and reconciliation journey with him, I am struck by how prominent a role he played in the genesis of the healing movement, how he has led us by way of his loving example, and how he dwells less on the past and more on how hopeful we can be about our future. Chief Joseph is a treasured leader and someone who forces us to re-examine our values and the importance of listening to each other. This book moves from our tragic history to a present where mutual understanding is possible. This is the story of reconciliation. Introduction. I trembled at the sight of tens of thousands of people marshaling near the west side of the Georgia Viaduct for the Walk for Reconciliation in 2013. My knees buckled, and my spirit soared in relief and intense happiness as the crowd grew to an estimated 70,000 people. Earlier in the day, I had my doubts. There was a torrential downpour and a chill in the fall air. I awoke at about 5:30 a.m. and stepped outside to check the sky. "Oh God, who will want to come to a walk in this kind of weather?" I whispered. And yet, I was moved by the great importance of the moment. The potential impact for reconciliation was huge if gauged by the size of the crowd. My doubt turned to euphoria as walkers continued to arrive under a sea of colored umbrellas. "We have come a long way," I thought, as my mind flashed back to the day I left St. Michael's Indian Residential School for the very last time. It was dark, and I had felt hopeless despair. That day, no one knew or cared much about little Indigenous children and the legacy of these schools. But the spectacle of wave after wave of umbrellas arriving from every direction pulled me back to the present. The crowd understood. There was a growing momentum for healing and reconciliation. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada had been traveling across the country, holding gatherings to hear and record the experiences of former students of residential schools. A few months before the Vancouver gathering, I was admitted to St. Paul's Hospital for colon cancer surgery. While I was there, I was preoccupied with the pending TRC hearings. I wanted the hearings to be filled with people and to be front-page news. I didn't want them flying under the radar. I called my daughter to come and see me at my bedside in the hospital. Karen responded immediately, recognizing the urgency in my voice. "Karen, I want you to do something for me," I said.
"What is it, Father?" she asked.
I conveyed my concern that with cancer.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?